Jeremiah 37?
Yeah, 30, verse 7. All right. All right, today I want to read this. Alas, for that day, it's called the day of the Lord. Alas, for that day. So that's a not a happy alas. That's a troublous alas. So alas for that day. So why is Jeremiah preaching something not happy? Why doesn't he have good news for us? Well, actually, it hides good news. There's no such thing in the Bible as bad news as a final word. It's just that God is patient with his people to get them ready for his return, for his coming first time and then second time. And so, alas, for that day is great, a great day, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. All right. Jacob's trouble will be 3.5 chairs. Behind me are 7 chairs. If you divide them down the middle, Jacob's trouble is not 7 years. Jacob's trouble is 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. So they're all saying the same thing. 3.5 years is 42 months is 1,260 days. So, what is he saying? Alas, for the great day of the Lord has come. In other words, the day of judgment for some, but release for others. Judgment for some. No, it's a judgment day. Judgment isn't always against you. Sometimes judgment goes for you. So those that are innocent get a reward, and those that are guilty have a sentence of punishment. So if you get a reward, that's a good judgment. So judges don't always give bad judgments. I think we think of that. But actually, it can be a good judgment because there's always two contending parties. One might be the state. That you don't want to do that one. One might be the government. They like to win. They like to win. They don't always win, but they can hire good lawyers to try to capture you, get you, defeat you, and they have a lot of staff and so on. So the government, you're only one person, but the government. Powerful. So you have to know your rights. You have to know your facts in order to present a good case in your defense. For alas, for that great day, so that none is like it. There's never been one like it. It's even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be, good news, saved for it. Saved out of it. As a matter of fact, God always saves his people, Israel. He always saves his people out of a furnace, out of trouble. So that's not unusual. This is not unusual. And unless you see that Jacob, even though it's a beloved of God, that children of Israel, Jacob, same name, God doesn't want you to have any sin, because a sin would mean you loved some other god and were intimate with another god rather than him. Does that make sense? So the judgment is you sinned by having another god, another lover. Idolatry, adultery, they're the same, because you had someone that you were intimate with other than God. In the one case, you might be rebellious even against God, but you're rebellious against God in that you choose another God rather than him. He's the only God that's good. So he doesn't want you having two gods, Alex. For example, yourself and God.
Right.
You know, that would be a false god. So, but any kind of god that you choose is a deviation from God's pattern. His desire to have you happy and safe. His desire for you to be happy and safe the whole time of your sojourn. Well, in the world you have trouble. So Jacob is going to have 3.5 years, 42 months, and 1,260 days of trouble. That calendar is different than ours. You'll notice that the biblical calendar is based on a 30-day, every month is 30 days, 30-day year, and so this is 3.5 years, 1,260 days. And since every month is the same, then there's only 360 days in their year. So it's nice and even, but it doesn't accord with actual calendar years, sun, moons, all that thing. And so that's why the Bible is much more perfect than reality. Because they just have 12 months. Each one has 30 days, so a total of 360. Now, since you're going to get 1,260, you obviously have lost some days. We have 364, and then every 4 years, we make up for 365. So you get 366 one day. I don't know.
364, 365.
So there's no 364.
What's a day amongst friends?
I like the idea of 364. So the calendar is totally different. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So when that day cometh, you only have to last that long. It's less than a presidential term. It's less than 4 years of college. So it's not 4 years. It's only 3.5. So if you can last that long, if you got enough food, provisions, the last 3.5 years, can now buy that stuff. It's dry and you put water in it and turns into steak or whatever it does. Apparently it's nutritious, Margaret. But the thing is, it lasts. And then if you get in a tough time, well, so you could buy that. And it isn't a lot of money either, because they dehydrate it and then package it up. I think they started that with the astronauts or something. When they went up in space, they had to have yummy food. So, we have any more ice cream? Let me put some water in it. See. So, this idea of 3.5 years and 3.5 years makes 1 week. So we'll read in a little minute about another look at the same period of time. So what is the time of Jacob's trouble? 3.5 years. But to be really accurate, just say 1,260 days. Because then you don't have to worry how many months, 42 months, or how many years. You just say 1,260 days. That's all. Then it's over. Then it's over. And it also is called, not only Jacob's trouble, it's also called the purifying of the sons of Levi. Now, why that? Why is it two things? It's called Jacob's trouble. Jacob is the same name for Israel. So it's called Jacob's trouble. We're in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great. And then it defines it. None is like it. It's completely extraordinary, not ordinary at all. And it's even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So even though he's going to have 3.5 years of trouble, that's also the time of the Antichrist. He's the one that causes the trouble. That's also the time of this purifying of the sons of Levi. Those are the priests who can forgive you. Those are the priests who help anybody who failed, who sinned against God's law. So if you were Jewish and you failed to be perfect, if you failed to keep Sabbath, if you failed to keep the dietary laws, if you failed to obey the Ten Commandments, then the priest could forgive you. But you had to make a sacrifice if you were Jewish. We don't, because of Jesus. Jesus has already made the sacrifice for us. So we don't have to make a sacrifice. We can laugh. We can rejoice. We're not going to come into judgment. Wow, I like ours better. I like ours. It's really a good deal. Because everyone has sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God, of the law of God, of the purposes of God. So we've all been imperfect. And I don't know why people don't get a hold of that idea. It's God's idea. That people that you're related to are not perfect. Has anybody noticed that? It'll help you to know that the people you are around, anyone, anywhere, are not perfect. And so you cannot worship them and rely upon them because they're not trustworthy. People will be nice 1 second and then mean the next second. You can't. They're not reliable like that. And everybody in this room is like that. So you can't, I will never be offended at anybody in this room. You can't offend me because I already know you're not perfect. I already know you're not good. I already know you're very much like me. And I am definitely not perfect. I'm definitely, Bonnie, you cannot rely on me. And Peggy has learned that the hard way. She keeps hoping I will improve. But Randy, there's something to people, stubborn. And they tend not to grow. They tend to stay the same. If they have a bad habit, they tend to keep it. And so even though you want your mate or your friend or your pastor or whoever to be holy and perfect and ideal, it's not true. It's not going to happen. So I've re-geared myself to take into account that everybody is untrustworthy. I don't know. It just helps, because then when they do something weird or obnoxious or nasty, it's okay with me, because I already didn't trust you. And so it's like, it's about time. You know, it's like, I'm not surprised. So people that let you down are everybody. The people that let you down are everybody. So I don't have any illusions about myself or others. The only amazing thing is that sometimes we behave. That is amazing. But in the sight of God, you never behave. In the sight of God, you never behave. That's why you can't go to heaven by behaving. Alex, that is an amazing thing. There's no point. There's no contest here. Don't even try, Margaret. Just relax. You're not perfect. You'll never be perfect. And nobody else is perfect. Only God. So only God is good. Only God is perfect. Only God measures up. Only God keeps God's law. So that makes sense. God keeps his own law. That makes sense. He has never sinned. He has never done wrong. He has never failed. That's powerful. That's powerful. That God, I mean, thank God for God. He's the only one that does it right. And he happens to like me. And not only that, he'd like to have a relationship with me and have me marry his son. It's cool. It's cool. Good thing he has the mercy to overlook my wickedness, and he has the power actually to alter me, change me, reform me from glory to glory, day by day, and change me into his likeness. So I'm certain that I'll look like, act like, talk like, feel like, be like God someday. I'll be exactly like Jesus. So that's amazing. And the reason is because Jesus is forming a close walk with me. And so he can say, Jim. And if he didn't do that, I'd just go over the cliff often. So I'm not really good at behaving. But you can't judge me because you're just like me. And as a matter of fact, if you do judge me, that's because you're hiding your own inconsistencies and contradictions and so on and so forth. So it's just, I caught you. That is not a big deal. So anyway, Jacob has sin in him. How many know the Jewish people are sinful? Just like the Hawaiians are sinful. The Portuguese are sinful. Everybody's sinful. Catholics are sinful. Buddhists are sinful. Hindus are sinful. Everybody's sinful. And so I'm totally at home with this world because I'm a regular. I'm just like everybody else. I'm exactly like everybody else. Everybody else is exactly like me. But some pretend, and I don't like pretending like that. It's a waste of time. I'm just used to it. Everyone is rotten, and me too. So I get along fine because I don't have any illusions. Whereas some people get mad that if you let them down, they get offended. I'm never offended. A person can murder me, and I'm not offended. I'm not offended. It's normal. That's just typical. Cheat me, lie to me, deceive me. Just go for it. Because I have a secret, and my secret is Jesus loves me. This I know. And he is perfect. And so when he sticks to you, that's a brother that won't let you down. And so since he's taken charge of me, I'm doing a lot better. I mean, actually, I'm doing the same thing I always did. But now I have a little bit of happiness because Jesus not only is forgiving me every time, but he likes me and loves me and encourages me. Cheer up. He's a cheer-upper. He puts his arm around me and, cheer up, you're awesome, Jim. He likes me because he's blind. I guess he can't figure out that I'm not at all worthy and good and law-abiding and so on. So I'm not like other ministers who try. I don't try. Other ministers do try. And I call them hypocrites and fakes and liars, but they at least try. I don't even try. I've not tried to be a good husband or a good father, a good friend, a good pastor, a good anything. I haven't tried. Why? It's a waste of time. Because when you scratch all the way to the bottom, I'm just a sinner. But saved by grace and filled with the Holy Ghost. Yahoo! And so I'm okay. I'm just happy as a clam. I have no idea how clams are happy, but I am one. However happy they are, I am. I guess because they have that shell on them. I don't know. I don't know what makes them happy. I guess not seeing anything other than themselves. They just crawl in their shell and hide. Wait for the great day or something. Wait for the water to flow over them. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It's even the time of Jacob's trouble, 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. Just forget the months and the years. Just go for the 1,260 days, because that's exact. Days are always the same. They just, the sun comes up and the sun goes down and so on. And so days you can count easier. That's Jacob's trouble. It's going to have 3.5 years, 1,260 days. That's it. That's it. And so why the 3.5? Well, you know what? Jesus actually had a 3-year ministry, but John that introduced him had a 0.5 year. And his was first. So if you add the two together, John preached the gospel, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. John preached the gospel and got his head chopped off for it. Making that good news like that. So they killed him. But Jesus was smarter than John. He kept his head till the very end. But John just got his head chopped off. And so there are people out there that don't like us, especially since we have good news. They don't like to hear the good news. They like to hear the bad news, that God is mad at you if you don't behave. Make a sacrifice. Be good. Behave yourself. But our Jesus behaves for me. And he likes me just as I am, without one plea. Woo, I like that. I like that. And real life fits that, because there isn't anybody that's perfect. There isn't anybody that's holy all the time. There isn't anybody like that. So God redefined the word holy to mean faith. Well, I like that one better than behavior. I'm not really good at consistent behavior. As a matter of a fact, I regularly, on the one-a-day plan, sin. I regularly sin. I haven't done one today. Oh, yeah. Just God reminded me. Yeah, I did. I did one today on the road coming. That is one of my worst sins, is on the road. I can't imagine, in theory, road rage is stupid, but in practice, it's awesome. I don't like people getting even a bumper ahead on the way from Fort Worth to Dallas, and the same from Dallas back to Fort Worth. I like to stay ahead of the crowd, get out on my own. I don't like people around me, ahead of me, behind me. I like to stay in my own lane, and I like to go off the highway if I need to get around people. And so I just hate waiting in lines that are like parking lots. Oh, yeah. You know, I think Dallas is worse than Fort Worth. Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's like a parking lot on these big 4 or 5 aisles, you know, out there, you know, and you just can't move. You just have to wait and then go a little feet and then stop and then wait there for a while and then go a little feet and so on. So I always look for ways around that, go through a ditch or something and get out on a side road and get off on an exit. And I'm way over in this lane and it's right across. I put my hand out. I open the window usually and just make everybody see my hand. And that way people let me do stupid things. It's amazing. I do that, especially then those spaghetti things when all the roads are all going every which way. Anyway, my point is that I do sin regularly, because I'm often driving. And I'm always impatient to get where I want to go, because I'm always late. That's another sin of mine. And I always postpone things. That's another sin of mine. And for me, it's always manana. I'm going to wait for tomorrow. I'll put that off. I'll do that tomorrow. Take care of that tomorrow. I fritter my life away. Bonnie, have you ever frittered your life away? That means I waste hours and, you know, doing frivolous things and thinking silly things and so on. Well, why am I not ashamed and broken about that? I don't know. I'm just not. Because Jesus loves me. This I know. That is so. That's always my default. Jesus, do you still love me? Thanks. Don't change. And he's always, read the book. So I read the book. Yep, he still likes me. I've memorized all those good ones that say Jesus loves me no matter what. I've memorized them. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like all those verses that speak about sinful people that get forgiven. You know, the one that was in the thing and he beat his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I like to study all those. Think about that. Because ours is the only God in the world, the only religion in the world, that God loves the sinner who defies him and goes against him and doesn't keep up and doesn't do the right thing. I love our religion. I'm happy being a pastor. I'm never frustrated. I'm always happy because I can't goof up. God has never offended at me. He's never like, that's it. Oh, okay, that's it. He never gets discouraged with me. I can get discouraged when some people don't act the way I want them to act or feel that's the right way for them to act. But God is never like that. So I'm learning to be like God. Just forgive everybody. Just get along with everybody. That's fine. Just be your rotten self or your fake self, or one minute you're this and the next minute you're that. And so I'm hard to offend. Except Peggy. She knows how to offend me readily. She's got my number. She's got that button that she presses. because I got this idea in my head that she should submit. I don't know where I get that word. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. I've got it on the refrigerator. It's got a lot of mirrors and so on. But for some reason, she doesn't do it. She doesn't. Margaret, she treats me as I deserve rather than as the Lord would treat me. So, that's my precious Jim. That's the way I like it. Just kind of totally undeserved, totally unrelated to any reality. Just people liking you for no reason at all. Because you're not worthy. You're not at all measuring up. All right. So, alas, for the day is great, that day of the Lord, so that none is like it, even the time of Jacob's trouble, 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months, but he shall be saved out of it. Wow. So even though we get into trouble, Roxy, it doesn't matter, because God's going to save you. He's going to pull you out of it. He's got a plan. He does not sleep. He's staying awake all the time, thinking of how to bless you and forgive you and change you and perfect you, and just always thinking, how can I help my beloved Randy? How can I help Randy today? And you're sleeping, but he's awake. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. I don't know the difference, but anyway, it's slumbering and sleeping. And he doesn't do either of those. I think they're the same. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. I have to look that up in the dictionary. For it shall come to pass, verse 8, Jeremiah 30, verse 8, 38. For it shall come to pass in that day, that 1260 day time, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck. In other words, no one will be able to pressure me No one will be able to accuse me. No one will be able to get me to be obligated. You know, I'll be free. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Is we need to set everybody free. Just forgive them. Love them the way they are. Love them though they're not worthy. Did you know that you have to love people that you can't trust? That there is nobody else. And so you might as well get used to loving people you can't trust. And the Bible says that, right? Trust in no man. So, I mean, that's clear. So if you can't trust them, but the Bible's also clear, love all men. Okay, so you have to trust people not. And you have to love people that you can't trust. So there it is. Kind of simple. And so that kind of makes it good, even though I don't do either of them. I don't do those. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm going to break the yoke, his yoke, from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve of him. Wow. So, in other words, people all from outside of us always are trying to get us to be obligated to them. You know, you're indebted to them. You owe them something. And I try my best not to say yes to anybody. So, I do. I try to say no immediately. because they have weepy stories and they have different ways to get you obligated. Now, Pastor, will you come to my house or will you do this? I try to remember to say no. Or I'll pray about it and kind of postpone it so they'll forget it. Because I know something will come up and then I don't want to go. I want to do something else. I want to do my thing. How many know that little children will do that when you call them? Jackie, supper's ready. And for some reason, they don't just come running unless they're starving to death. So that's a good idea. Don't feed them, you know, then maybe they'll be hungry. But anyway, otherwise, what they'll do is they'll start down the hall and they'll see one of their toys in the hallway and they'll start playing with it. Or they'll see a bug on the wall. I mean, little kids get distracted so easily. Thank God we're not like little kids. If I walk through the den, you know, the whatever that's called, if I walk through that and the TV is on, I might stop instead of going and praying where I was heading and studying. You know, I might just stop there and look at the thing. Maybe it's just a commercial. I might just be fascinated by it. Because some of the commercials are pretty good. They're funny. And I laugh at them every time. And the music is usually louder in the commercial. I don't know why. But it catches your attention. And all of a sudden I'm frozen. And I'm just frivolous. I'm just wasting my time. I was on the way to pray to God, to study something. And now that I'm older, I even forget why I'm in a room anyway. So I'm not sure why I came into this room. No, seriously. I mean, I just 3 seconds later, when I'm going to go to a room to do something, and I know what I want to do, but then I get right to the doorway, and I've already forgotten where I'm going and why. I say, Peg, why am I here? How would I know? She says, you know. Because she doesn't know why I'm here. so that's an old age thing. Okay. Therefore, but they shall serve, in other words, they're not going to serve strangers anymore, but they shall serve the Lord, their God. Now listen to this. And David, their king. This is the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of the Antichrist, the time of your enemies, the time of the Gentiles, the time of the sons of Levi being purified. So this 3.5-year period is the day of the Lord. But it's a judgment day on the wicked, but it's a savior day for the righteous. So that's cool. So you have to prepare yourself for that kind of idea. So is everybody prepared for the 3.5 year, 42 month, 1260 day period, you're not yet ready. No, oh, you got to get ready. You got to get ready. Now it's not today. It's not today. So this is kind of like a theory about someday. But it's prophetic. This all the way through the Bible, there will be this time of Jacob's trouble, when Jacob will be judged, and if he has any sin in him, then he has to say he's sorry and make some changes. Whereas for us, we don't. If God shows us a sin, we don't have to say, we don't have to feel that sorry about it, and we don't have to say, okay, I'll improve. Because Jesus already lived his life for us, so I like our deal better. I think our deal is the real religion. At least it is for me. Because it lets me off the hook. I love getting off the hook. I love not being obliged to behave. I'm just, as I say, I just try to, because sometimes if I say yes to somebody, I have to do it then. So, but a lot of times I hope people don't notice that I just took a nap or got distracted at something in the hall and didn't make it. And so I try to make weak promises that fit my schedule. Is anyone, I don't like, for example, people that are punctual, that are always on time, unless it's at church. Then I would like that. You naughty people. You have to get here on time. Because all my jokes are gone now and everything. Don't know what to say. Now, I am the happiest person on the face of the earth, and that I'm into. I'm really into happy all the time. Is anybody else happy all the time? Roxy, are you? That's good. That's good. We brainwashed her into happy all the time. It works, though. It's really good. Cynthia, have you gotten that one down? Almost. Almost. Okay. Randy, sometimes. Yeah. Happy all the time. Yes, sometimes. I'm happy all the time. I mean, people are funny. People are funny. You're weird. You know, but they know that's the right answer, so they say it, but they don't really mean it. So, how many know that every day is heaven on earth?
Yep.
Crystal, every day. Heaven on earth. Why? That's God. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I just never outgrow that. I just never forget that. Every day, Jesus loves me. I like to say it. I said it in the car coming. Or I don't know where I was this morning. I think that's where I was. But I remember saying it. No, I know. When I got out of the car, that's when I said it. Because I don't want to say it in front of Peggy. Those are my secrets. Those are my secret things. Jesus loves me. Yeah, I was telling him. Yeah, actually, I remember it now. I was telling him how much I love him, how much I'm grateful for him, and so on. I just like to tell him that all the time because I forget. Sometimes I just forget Jesus altogether. Get interested in the toast I'm eating or whatever. Does anyone else do that? You just have normal everyday lives, and so perfection is not one of our achievements. It's not one. It's not something I can master. I'm able to be thoughtless all the time, but thoughtful? No. But one thing I like to remember is Jesus loves me all the time, and he never tires of me. Every day I wake up, he's like the cat. I have a cat, and that cat likes me every day, and he gets his, you know, gets up and rubs me and gets all the hair all over my pants and so on and so forth, but every day is the same. He never changes. And I don't know if all cats do this. He sticks his tail straight up in the air so I could kind of like hold on to it like a cane or something like that. And he does it every time because he's happy. So I think he's waiting for food, actually. But anyway, he likes me for something. Anyway. All right. But they shall serve the Lord. Don't ever again after this 3.5 year time, the wicked will never rule again. But they shall serve the Lord. That's the millennium. So I don't want to talk about the millennium, but that is what happens after this 3.5 year period. Jesus comes back, he returns, and then the wicked are, you know, one of them is, you know, tied and thrown into a pit, and two of them are thrown into the fire, and so on and so forth, and he just does all these things. But I don't want to get into that. I just want to talk about the 3.5 year thing. Is why 3.5? Why is it not 4? Make it even. Why is it 3.5? Well, I don't know. I can give you the scripture for it. So we're going to look at that in a minute. All right. I will break the yoke. That's during the 3.5. And they shall serve the Lord after that. And now listen to this, because this is hard to comprehend. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king. Well, how can they serve David? He's dead. Right? King David died a long time ago. As a matter of fact, Jesus even mentioned that. He said, King David's tomb is with us. And we visit it every time, but they don't ever open it up so you can't see him. Because he would just be a bone. But he has a tomb there, but I have a feeling he's not in that thing. I think they just charge you a little fee to come and look at it. But he died about 1,000 years before Jesus, and he would not be good looking if you dug him up. So I don't think they mummified him. Those mummies aren't good looking either. If you ever unwrapped a mummy, they just look dark and ugly, and their skin is tight and so on and so forth. They don't look good anymore. They don't look flesh like us. Nice. So, why would David be the king? Could God raise up somebody that was dead after 1,000 years? I mean, it's one thing to do it, you know, only an hour or so, or 2 hours, or 5 days, or something. But it's another thing to somebody that's been there a long time. So, if it means that, that's weird. To have King David, the actual one, be the king. But you know what? He did have this prayer, I noticed. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. That is kind of like a prayer. In other words, I'd like to live a little longer. So maybe King David's actually going to rule. But I need to know this. Either be David himself or not David himself. Now, if it's not, I don't think it's somebody with the same name. I think it means one of his kids. But people have always thought it meant Jesus. I'm certain it doesn't. But it could mean Jesus, not in the earthly Jerusalem on the earth, but up in the heavenly Jerusalem. But I think it's actually meaning a Jewish person in the line of David who then reigns over, because there are no wicked people anymore, and the Jews are on top, and all the Gentiles are now underneath them. Because the time of the Gentiles is over, meaning they're not going to rule anymore. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, all those nations of the world, Russia, China, whatever, none of them will rule. They'll all be under the Jewish people during the millennium, 1,000 years. And so, you and I think, will be upstairs. We'll be up in the sky because it says we'll meet him in the air. We're going to talk about that later. But I don't want to get into the millennium right now. I want to get into the 3.5 year thing. All right. And I'll show you where I get all that. Therefore, don't fear. No, let me read the 9th verse again. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up to them. That's interesting. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed, your children, from the land of their captivity. And those, I'll bring everybody back to Jerusalem. Their own land, Israel. But it'll be bigger. So they'll need a lot of space all the way up to Syria, Damascus, all the way down into Egypt. Big, big. All the way over to the Euphrates River. Iran, Iraq, that area. All of that will be Jewish. And no more Iran and Iraq and all those countries. And no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, saith the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations. In other words, they'll never rule again. Whither I have scattered you, but I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure, in other words, not unlimited, and will not leave you altogether unpunished. In other words, you'll be chastened a little bit, but not actually destroyed completely. But the Gentiles will be destroyed completely. Muslims will never rule. You have to feel bad for them because they're working real hard, like Hillary. They're working real hard to win, take over the world before the Christians get there. We're kind of in a race and see if Christians can get there first. But they're cheating because they're using force. They're using terror. They're using, compelling people. You want to be a Muslim? Nah, not really. Chop off. Okay. All right. I do want to be. And when the guy next to you get his head chopped off, it makes you rethink the thing. It's like, hey, you know, I'll go with this Muslim thing. Now, none of you would do that. Promise me. Yeah, got a promise. You aren't going to do that. No. Do you know what? When you're faced with a sword coming right across your throat like that, you could rethink it a little bit. I'd probably be a guy like that. I'm just thinking about it. How much time do I have? A second. I thought about it. No, you don't know what you do in a pinch. You don't know what you do in a crisis. It's best to have a plan ahead of time. I would plan ahead of time. Let's see. I'll say, Jesus. I have to say it real fast because they chopped my head off real quick. Jesus loves you. Amen. But hates your religion because it stinks. I'm going to get that out. I don't know if they'll like that. But I feel I have to be a good witness for Jesus in the Bible. I feel I want to be a good witness. So this time of Jacob's trouble, it hasn't yet happened. But it's right around the corner. It's the next thing on God's agenda. The next thing on God's agenda is people are going to be racing to see who is going to be the Antichrist. That's one of the deals. And where is Israel going to fit into it? That's one of the deals. And what about the sons of Levi? That's one of the deals. And so on and so forth. All of that is 3.5 years. 1260 days. 42 months. All of that. And here's where it comes from. For I am with you, God is with us, and he always saves his people, Israel, out of the furnace. So every time he sends Israel into the furnace, in order for them to cry out. You know, when you get in a furnace or in a tight spot, you usually, if there's any hope at all, you just kind of crying out, help! Okay, sorry! You know, whatever. That's the way you do it. You just kind of cry out. And God, if he's merciful, and we know he is, is just say, okay, you said uncle, or you cried out. It's good. You admit now you're no good. Yes, I do. Because I saw that sword coming, whatever. And so people operate by fear rather than faith, right? But which God are you going to call on? I'm going to call on Jesus. I'd rather fall into the hands of Jesus than one of those other guys. Because I feel they're unreasonable. Where I feel Jesus has made all these promises to me, therefore I feel I have a chance with him, Randy. So I don't have to behave myself and do anything, because he likes me before I even do anything. He likes me. I like that. I like that. It's powerful to be loved by somebody when you don't deserve it. Amen? I wish everybody would love me for no reason at all. Because that's your nature. Because you're born again. And so I kind of do that with people that I know. People that are obnoxious and not nice and so on. Instead of criticizing them, just say, I love you unconditionally. Why? Because they don't deserve it. And sometimes they appreciate that, right? Because I appreciate that. I tell Peggy that all the time. Peggy, you're the best. No matter what she's just done, I just say it anyway. Especially if she's done something that I didn't like, then I say it because Jesus reminds me, Jim, remember I loved you that way. You love her that way. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? I always love myself because I'm myself. That's all I am, is myself. So how many love yourself?
Amen.
Because if you hate yourself, you're going to hate your neighbor. So it's kind of, if you love yourself, you're going to love the neighbor. If you hate yourself, you're going to hate the neighbor. That's people, long before people hate me, they hate themselves.
Yeah.
So I know if somebody hates me, it's without a cause. Why'd you hate me? Well, I didn't like, you know, this and that and so on and so forth. Okay, it doesn't matter. I love you. I love you unconditionally. Not going to change my mind. The whole thing got started because God loved sinners. No other, Buddha didn't do that. Buddha's never done that. With Buddha, it's conditional. You have to behave, either before or after. I mean, you have to behave. He'll show mercy to you, even Muhammad. He will show mercy to you if you become a Muhammadan. I mean, you have some condition, some payment. But with Jesus, no payment. I like this. I like this idea that you don't have to do anything to deserve his love. Now, I want to look at Daniel. So go forward a few pages. Daniel, the 9th chapter. Daniel 9. All right. Are you there? You have to memorize the books of the Bible. All right. Daniel 9. Listen to what it says. This is really interesting. This is where I get all my ideas. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon the holy city. So this is the prophet Daniel. Daniel means God is judge. This is the prophet Daniel, and he's heard God. He's trembling, and because he knows God's going to tell him something about Israel. And here's what he's going to be told. Okay, 70 weeks, you're in Babylon now, and you're going to be there for 70 weeks. But no, that's not what he's saying, because it doesn't say weeks. We translate it that way, weeks. But it's just Shabua. It means seven. 77s. Well, that's 490-somethings. So it depends. If it was just weeks, then it wouldn't be very long. No, it's actually years. How do we know? Well, because that all this worked out that way. So when it says 70 weeks, it actually is saying 70 Shabua, 77s, 70 times 7. Okay, 70 times 7 is 490. So it's 490 months or 490 days or 490 years. Well, it's 490 years. So watch what this happens. 70 weeks are determined upon your people. Where are they at this time? Well, actually, what he's talking about is going to take place not in Babylon, but in Persia. And that's going to be forward. But 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. So that's it. Israel has sinned, that's her transgression. And now that 70 weeks is to make her see, kind of like a long time, that you did wrong. So then to make reconciliation for your iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Wow. So all of that, so it can't be months because it didn't happen. So it can't be days. It didn't happen like that. But years make sense. Why? Because if you did in the time of Babylon, or in the time especially of Persia, let's say you did it 457 years BC, before Christ. 457. And if you add 70 times 7, but wait a minute, they changed it. Watch this. 70 weeks are determined upon the people and by the holy city to finish the transgression. This is that 3.5 year thing. Shooting forward. Now watch. And upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, Jesus. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, see, it was destroyed by the Babylonians. It was burned down. The temple was burned down. The city was destroyed. And now, from this commandment to restore. So this is not in the time of Babylon. This is in the Persian time. Restore it. Nehemiah and all those things. From 457 BC to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. Well, that's Jesus. HaMashiach. The anointed one. So that's what that word means. He's been oil poured on him. He's the anointed one. Like King David when he became king, the prophet, he came and anointed him, Samuel, poured oil on his head. That's how you anoint a king or a priest. That's how you anoint them. And we do that sometimes. We anoint people and put oil on them. That's how you anoint someone, but in God's way. All right. Now here's what it says. Shall be 7 weeks. That's 49 years. And 62 weeks. Okay, wait a minute then. That's 69. 60 is 60. And 2 is 62. Plus 7 is 69. That would be 483 years. Not 490. Because there's the last week. The 70th week. And this is what all the scholars and everybody argues about. The 70th week is after the 69. So this is saying that these times before the Antichrist, before the Jacob's trouble, before the last 3.5 years. So if we have 3 of these chairs plus a half, this one will be our half chair. If you have 3 of these chairs plus a half, and Jesus takes care of the first 3.5. Because John the Baptist had the half. He's 6 months older. He started his ministry and then he got killed. And how long did he last? A half. He didn't last the whole year. And you remember that Herod had his head chopped off. And so it's because he was talking about not Herod the Great, but one of his sons, that you are now taking to wife, and this is forbidden. You're taking to wife your brother's wife. That's incest. That's forbidden. So because he said that, that guy didn't like it. And that son of Herod decided to kill him. Now he liked him actually, but his wife, remember he had a daughter, Herodias, and did a dance and so on and so forth. And he said to her, wow, that's cool. And then he said, unto half my kingdom. I don't know why didn't want to give the whole kingdom, but just half of the kingdom. I'm going to give to you if you please me. And so she did and asked her mother, well, what shall I ask? The head of John the Baptist. I want that guy out of the way. And so that's his head chopped off. That's when Jesus began his ministry. Jesus began his ministry. Remember when John was in jail waiting for all this? He went and said, Jesus, talking to his disciples, are you the one? Are you the one that's to come? Are you the one that these prophets are writing about? And tell John, blah, blah, blah. So when he lost his head, remember, you can't lose your head. Did you know you can't lose your head? Because your head is Jesus. So since your head can't be lost, remember he already did the crucifixion thing, so that's over. It can't be repeated. Now, you can't die because your head always, always is alive. It's living forever. And you can't be that way again. It's one time. So you, even if you should think you're going to die or something. Physically, you can die. But spiritually, you can't die because your head's alive. And wherever he is, you is. Wherever you are, he is. So you're connected because he's going to marry you. Remember, he said, I'm going to marry you. And he can't lie about that. Said, well, I was going to marry you, but then I found somebody else. No, he can't do that. So if he once makes the offer and you accept it, you're in forever. So you cannot die spiritually. So no matter what happens, it's good news for you. Nobody else has that. We're the only ones that have that. I think that's cool. So this 69 years is 483 years from 457 BC during the Persian period. It's the time they were making the announcement, let's restore Jerusalem. Let's rebuild the walls. Let's set up the temple again. All that's in Nehemiah and Ezra and all that. You can read about that. From that moment, it brings you to 26 AD, 483 AD, years. If you add those together, it gives you up to John the Baptist, exactly the half. So there it is. Jesus then, since John is older, and since I believe that Jesus' birth is in the spring, not in the winter, John is 6 months older. John only has a six-month ministry of baptizing people and so on. And then Jesus comes at the barley harvest, and he celebrates four Passovers. He also, by the way, celebrated many more than that, but during his ministry time, four. When he was 12, on Passover, that's in the spring, when the lambing season is, preparing those for the sacrifice, millions of people, 2 to 3 million people, come to Jerusalem from all over. And then they sacrifice, and the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that's what John said, here he is. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So he was born in Bethlehem, where all the lambs were. And you can go there. We were just there a year or so ago. And you could see all the hills there on the not Jewish side, but on the Arab side of the fence, on the Arab side of the wall. And they still do it. They're still in that area. There are shepherd's fields. But Jesus then is starting his ministry, and he'll have these three chairs, and so he fulfills one half. Why? Because this scripture tells it right here. And know ye therefore, verse 25, 9:25, Daniel, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is 69. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So, there it is. Half of the week. Half of the week. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, for us. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And at the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now watch this. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the middle of the week, 3.5. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. In other words, the Jewish religious temple worship is over. It's done now, because Jesus is the sacrifice that the Jews could not present to God, because he's perfect. So it's not a lamb anymore. It's not a bull. It's not a turtle dove. It's not something else you can present. All of that is over. Once Jesus, remember he said, it's finished. He's talking about that. It's finished. So, 483 years from 457, if you add them together, that's the beginning of John's ministry. And then it said, and Jesus then will be killed. So, 3 years later, he's killed in the middle of the 70th week. So, The only thing in the book of Revelation left is the other half of the 70th week, because Jesus died on the cross 30 AD right then. That's it. It's over. So if you add all those numbers together from Jeremiah, Daniel, the whole Testament is full of references to Jacob's trouble and all this kind of stuff. Then you come up to the millennium, but you can't get there right now because this 3.5 has not been done. The Antichrist hasn't, and you know because he's going to sit on the throne and say, he's going to sit in the temple of God, and then he's going to say, I am Jesus. I am God. I am the one you're looking for. I'm fulfilling it. And because Jesus is gone. But then Jesus, who isn't gone, really, he's just up in heaven waiting for this 3.5 year period of Jacob's trouble, of the Antichrist, of the one who's a substitute for Jesus, who says he's God, and he is in the temple, and he's saying, I'm the one you're looking for. But he's not. He's not. And so you have that period of time looking for that to finish the week that Jesus did and then cut off. Why? Because it said so in Daniel. That's the prophecy. And then when he comes back at the end of the week, when the 70th week is finished, it's over. So Israel is punished here when Jesus comes because he ends their worship. Because he fulfills it. Didn't come to destroy it, it came to fulfill it, but no more lambs and goats and all that kind of stuff. Now, that's finished, and that, for the Jewish people, that was a horrible thing, because now their law system is over. They're still keeping it going, but they've never done it right, and they can't, and they never will. So Jesus was a terror to them, and then the Antichrist will be a terror to them, and if it's Muslims, they're ready. And they declare it all the time. They know these scriptures. They pay more attention than we do to these scriptures. And they know we're hastening that thing. We're bringing that about right now. We're going to get things ready. So they're cooking up to take over. They put their graves deliberately back in the time of the Crusades, long time ago, 1200, 11, 12, 13. Right there at the Golden Gate, where they know Jesus has to come through, and there'll be a war right there in their mind. But actually, it's Jesus will not be defeated. But anyway, their idea is that that is a little like porch area in the wall, and then you go through the Golden Gate, which you can see everywhere. It's the most famous gate of all. And it's all blocked up right now with stones. So Jesus will have to be there chipping away, trying to get those stones loose. No. So all of this is strange, but it's really not. It's really just saying the very history you've lived and the very life you're living right now is all prophesied in the Bible. So at the end of the week, then that begins the millennium. But what happens during that time? Well, it's not good for the bad guy, because the beast and the false prophet, the beast is the same thing as the Antichrist, the beast and the false prophet, inspired by Satan, will try to do damage, but it won't work. As a matter of fact, they'll be utterly destroyed. And so all their plans come to an end. The Tower of Babel still cannot be finished. Never. Ever. Babylon can never be rebuilt. So the Whore of Babylon is thrown off. Very ancient girl. And then the ones that threw her off was the beast that slept with her. The one, she gave him all his power, and then he doesn't need her anymore, so he throws her off. But it's too bad, because then his whole economy and political system collapses. Then he realizes he's made a mistake. Too late. Jesus then comes back because they're persecuting Christians and Jews, but particularly two Christians during this time. The two witnesses, Robert Mowery and somebody else. That's right. And so those that would thought it would be me. No. I want to watch Robert go through that. And so I'm not praying about that. I don't want to be famous like that. I'd rather sit at home and enjoy toast and stuff. And pray, of course. Pray for him. God protect him. Don't let him take this death too seriously and so on and so forth. Because I'm praying for him. No, the point is, I'm saying that all so that you remember that there are two real people that are alive right now. And the Antichrist is alive right now. And this is going to happen. So I want you to know, this is what's next on God. This is at a hand. That means next on the agenda. This is the next item of business in the scripture. And so I read to you Jeremiah. Now I'm going to read one last one out of Revelation itself. Out of Revelation itself, chapter 12. So let's read that. Chapter 12. Did I read enough there for you? Yeah, I did. All right. Chapter 12 in Revelation says this, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon." Okay, this is again a picture of Satan. "Having 7 heads, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, Holy Rome, and now New World Order, Rome." So, you never get rid of Rome. Rome will not end until that last chair, until the week is over. The 70th week of Daniel, when the Messiah was cut off in the middle, now a big couple thousand years between Jesus' death and today, and this Antichrist now is about to get up, there's a couple thousand years there. Why? Because it says in another Old Testament prophecy, on the third day, and a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, so 2,000 years are now up since Jesus. And now, sometime in the third thousand, that's when, it depends on when you start it and when you end it, but now then, this thing will be over. And so we're at the end, just like Hillary is at the end. I mean, she was tasting being the first woman president and all this kind of stuff. I mean, she lived it. She breathed it. She was determined to destroy anything in her way. She was going to break the glass ceiling and all this kind of stuff. But in the same way, the Antichrist now will be finished. All the wicked will be over. Never again will you have a wicked ruler, a wicked pastor, a wicked shaper. Nobody, no rulers over you will ever again not serve, be submitted to Jesus Christ. So, during this time, that's their last breath. That's their they're pulling out all the stops right now. I mean, don't think Hillary's gone. She's not gone. And she wants Texas. No, seriously. This is the only state that would give them forever the presidency and everything. So you have to turn this blue state, a red state, into a blue state. And Soros has unlimited funds available to do that. And they already began in Houston. And this year, while everybody else was noticing how wonderful we looked, you weren't paying attention to George Soros, who spent at least $500,000, if not more, to get the DA, to get all the judges out, and so on. So they have no law down there. All of them are Democrats now.
Houston.
So that's just, did I say Houston?
I don't think you did.
Yeah.
Houston?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, they're going to do that everywhere. And right here, this area is now the scariest area for them. The three counties up here, Tarrant and Dallas and Denton and even Collin County, they're strongly Republican. Dallas is not. Dallas is still troubled by the South portion. And it's very hard for this one, even though there's lots of Republicans here, it's hard for them to win. All of the judges 10, 15 years ago were wiped, the slate was wiped clean. None of them survived. So all Democrats now control your judicial system here. It's liberal. So, but Fort Worth, Tarrant County, Denton, and Collin County are solidly red Republican. But it's the only place in Texas, and it's the only place in the United States, strong. This is it. This is it. That's why I think a revival is going to take place here, not in Fort Worth, but here. Because something needs to happen here. And the only thing would be Jesus Christ. If there were a revival here. No, I'm just serious. And I meet with some of the businessmen here who grab my hand and say, we want it to be here. And with tears in their eyes often, they say, it is going to be here. We're going to have a revival here. And they're working at it. Everything they're doing is, I don't care about my business. I want to see the revival take place in this city. And there are lots of people who have prophesied that. But anyway, I believe it too. And so it's exciting to be part of God's end time work. Otherwise, it's just a theory or something written historically in a book. This is neither history nor la-la land. This is actually taking place right now. And we're the reason right here. This is the state you have to get or lose. Right? Everything hinges on this. Not Pennsylvania, not Florida. Here. This is the only place. You get it here, the Democrats can't win. Or you lose it here, the Republicans are lost. And so a lot of money is going to be poured in here. Billions. Because they have to destroy it. And it's easy to take because people are sleeping. Only Christians are awake. And they need to know how powerful they are. And the Jewish people, a lot of the Jewish people are turning toward this battle that's before us. Because they're the ones that will be the main target, not us. The main target of the Antichrist is not us, Christians. We're just, collateral damage. They're really trying to get rid of Israel, and they know we protect them, so get rid of the Christians. Because we protect and believe that Israel is in the Bible. We believe that all those things in the Bible are true. If I lived in Illinois, it'd be hard to preach these things. If I lived in California, it'd be hard. Not impossible, but hard. Here, almost everybody on the street, they're all weird. For Jesus. Amen. I love it. I love it. And if you go to Africa or, a third world country and you say, Hallelujah, I'll tell you, half of the street, if not everybody, will say, Praise the Lord. And because they're so excited in Africa, they're so excited for about Jesus. Not here. Like that. I mean, this third world is the place that, they know your economy is due to Jesus and your politics is due to Jesus and your life is freedom, all that stuff. You got that from Jesus. We don't like our corrupt leaders. We want Jesus. So they're serious about it. They don't think like we do and just talk words. They're doers. They're ready to give their lives up for Jesus. The whole China, India, Russia, everywhere you go in the world today, there's a revival, all except here. All except here. Europe, no, it's dead. So I hope you enjoyed today. Oh, I didn't read to you. I got to read that. 12th chapter. And the dragon with 10 horns and seven crowns on his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. Who could that be? With a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God. Who could that be? And to his throne. And the woman, this is you. The woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her 1,260 days. What is that? 1,260. Do you see that? So a protection for the righteous. During the time of an Antichrist, not everyone will be the target. Some people will be refuged. That means a place will be prepared for you by God where you can go and avoid the tribulation. That's what the 3.5 years is. Time of Jacob's trouble. Purifying of the sons of Levi. Time of the Antichrist. End of the time of the Gentiles. All of that is super powerful. And you are about to see it. You could see it in your lifetime. I don't know if I will live that long, but I hope so. I'd like to. Anyway, the woman fled into wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they, those who follow Jesus, should feed her 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, so something's taking place up in the heavens, and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels, his demons, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that ancient serpent called the devil and Satan. So there it is. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. Notice, he's not in the mid-heavens where he used to be, but he's also not in the first heaven where we will be caught up with the Lord in the air. I know you don't understand all this, but I'm just introducing it, and we're going to keep talking about it. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So that's where the devil's working now, down here. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. So it's talking about Christians. So where are we during this time? If you're a Christian but you're lukewarm, or you're a virgin but you're foolish, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you will not be protected. I'm just telling you. You're not going to be protected. There is only a guarantee for those that go all the way with God and say, hey, I don't care about my traditions. I want to go all the way. I want to be one of the wise virgins. I want to be sold out for Jesus. I want to go all the way. I'm going. And I am. I'm definitely going. Why? Because I'm hopeless without it. If I don't go, I don't have any hope. So I don't want to be a foolish virgin sitting off on the side watching it, watching the bad guys and so on. I want to be up in that heaven, the first heaven right above the earth, and let the devil do his thing down here. But then as soon as it's over, Jesus will come with us. We're coming with him because we're the new Jerusalem, not the old Jerusalem on earth. We're the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. The bride of Christ is the new Jerusalem. And all of this will take place, and then the millennial reign will be a righteous, holy reign on earth forever, and then after the 1,000 years, forever. And then we're going to get into that later. But for right now, I wanted you to understand what this week right here, seven years, is not 7 years of the Antichrist. No. It's only 3.5 years of the Antichrist. Jesus, the Christ, fulfilled the first half of the week because he's the Messiah that was cut off in 30 AD, which was 69 years, 69 times 7, which was 483 years from 457 BC. All you have to do is add the math up. And so you can back into it and say, if that's the start of John the Baptist's ministry, which it is, that's 26. Jesus then, in spring of 27, starts his ministry, Passover to Passover to Passover to Passover. Three, exact. It has to be on Passover that he dies, because it's on Passover that he was born. So each one is in the spring. And everything then begins there. That's called, by the way, the latter rains, because they're heavy rains. And they make everything flourish then for the summer harvest, and then later the fall harvest, which is, they have two New Years, one in the fall and one in the spring. So now, I know, again, you don't understand all this, but I'm just telling you, we have to kind of read your Bible and catch up. All right. Yes. It's fun. Everything's going our way. You all saw that, right? You all saw that you don't have to lose your head. If you love your brother, that's Philadelphia, not Laodicea. You're safe. You're secure. All right. Amen. Close in prayer. Hugo.
Thank you, Jesus, for this revelation. Thank you for Pastor Jim. Thank you for knowledge and for salvation. And thank you for everybody here, Father. Just give us the wisdom. Open our hearts. And we just thank you for, because you're good and we are not. Be with us, Father. And we pray for everybody here. And we pray for our politicians. And we pray for our new president.
Yes.
And thank you, Father, for everything you do. And we pray, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.